Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to an unexpected podcast. I'm Ed.
And I'm Sickle Bats McGee.
Dude, doesn't that kind of, you know, podcast? What was it? What are the annals of time? What was it you were saying?
The annals of history.
Yeah.
Just, I've got a joke for the annals of history. I was talking to my good buddy Rob Thorson. Go check out Rob Thorson, everybody, wherever you can find him. In every dose of Rob Thorson, you're lucky to have him, is all I can say. And whatever media you are consuming him in, he's incredible.
Okay.
But he's like Mr. Outdoors. He's like a real life Aragorn. And he's like, he's straight up designer extraordinaire. All of the t-shirts you guys have seen and the logo itself have all been Rob's creations, and they're just mere trifles for him. But anyway, he sent me something real funny that I wanted to share. And mm-hmm. So it is really funny when you just say it out loud. It was a meme. And it's essentially just two images, and this is them. This is what it says.
Okay.
It was the best of Shires. It was the worst of Shires. It's got the bottom one has a bottle of Worcestershire sauce, and it's just perfect.
Why is it so funny? I don't know.
I was literally so before you called me, I was saying it aloud to myself and just giggling. I don't know. Yeah. And then something I thought of like weeks ago, and it just literally came to me on the drive today. Because it just is what happens. And remember when we talked about like how the ring, like almost how you come into bearing it is Ooh. Just as important as like who you are and your character.
Yes,
or something.
Sir, I do remember that.
All
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
So I had this thought about Theo, and Theo with the blade of either Morgoth or Sauron or whatever is going on with that blade.
Right. Right.
And I was like, he stole it. He stole it. I was like, I wonder if that's going to have a part to play in his fate. Like, it wasn't like it was given to him or he found it. He knowingly went and raided it out of Waldreg's.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I bet Waldreg stole it too. I mean, I wouldn't put it past him to have also lifted that one.
That guy's a scary dude.
He is scary, man. Isn't he? Like, you almost think like, oh, okay, now he's going to be kind of like this decent old chap, you know, and.
Yeah, but he's like, you and me.
Like, no,
we're gonna be ready for this bat for this for the return or something. I mean, he's prepping.
They're both branded. Hall. Hall brand. Oh, geez,
wow.
Dog.
Wow,
hello.
Dude.
And Hall brand. Actually, I'm starting to think maybe it sounds more like Hell brand, like branded by Hell.
Wow. I mean, maybe again, you know, like Lottie was talking about the fire and all that kind of stuff with Brent, and I was like, oh my goodness, that's just
dang, okay,
it's all scary. So
too much good stuff.
But anyway, friends who are out here, we got a few friends in here. Anybody wants to call in, you guys feel free. Call on in. We'll take the first call.
Come on in.
The water.
First caller's getting a T-shirt.
The water is fine. Wow, are they? Because.
I don't know. We'll find. I didn't say what kind of T-shirt. I mean, we could just send you one of Ez's, or actually, I have Ez's.
I'm
saving that.
Oh, okay.
No. I got something else. I'm saving that. I think I'm going to wear when we get together soon. And I'm just going to bust out. See
Good.
If anyone notices.
Good man.
It's your lower back ponytail.
I like that.
I
should cut that off and like donate it to. Because I've regrown another one. You have one. I need to send one out to a couple folks on the podcast. I feel like. Can auction that bad boy off for some money or something, you know?
Can we dig up that old photo of you in like the whitey tighties on the couch with the LBPT hanging there?
We got that.
Has Lottie ever seen that? Because Lottie needs a copy of that.
She does. I know she does. That maybe
that
what, I would
one,
do
but...
probably something a little more
erotica.
Yeah.
More fantasy. I'll
do something. Well, yeah, we'll do something in person.
Okay.
Someone just asked me. There's actually like 822 Lottie on here. Just ask Ez, is that Yoda in Gollum's cave behind you? Kind of looks like it. Ooh. I've actually, you saw that Yoda picture back here, right?
Oh yeah, behind you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
interesting.
Tell that story. That's an awesome.
I'll take any opportunity to talk about this. Go check out my new podcast where I just talked to this young man about Star Wars. It's called Star Wars Hangout. You'll find it.
That was a quick turnaround, too. That was
great.
First
of all, did you hear all the audio cut out at the end? I actually am going to repost it with better audio. At the very end, my audio cut off for like the last minute of that.
Was that noise that I heard?
Yeah, it must have been.
Some kind of... Okay.
It must have been. I have no clue what happened. It was crazy. Wow, but yeah, anyways, dude, Adlane on Star Wars Hangout. Dude, that was an amazing talk. Lottie was like, that's what it's all about. And I was like, yes. Yeah. Talking about fandoms, talking about the story arc, hero journey, the whole thing, man. I was like, I listened to that on the way to work this morning and was so pumped. So
it was so hard. Did you find it hard for you and I to like not talk for a long? It was,
oh man,
I was
yeah.
like, dude, this is way too short.
Yeah, that's a podcast I'm keeping under like, you know, 30 to 45 minutes. And I was like, we had to like,
I almost ruined that one.
We had to pull the reins back. You know what I mean? I had to, it was crazy. But so we did have actually, I'm going to save the story. We got a caller. Let's get it. Let's get this old rascal in here. Hold on a second here.
Welcome to the Hobbit Hotline. It's a Monday night, so you know it's right. Who we got on the hotline here? Who is this? Name thyself.
This is Andrew.
Yeah, boy.
Let's
you know
go, baby.
You know it's Andrew.
You know it's
Andrew. What's up, you dog? What's up?
How are you guys?
Good. How are you, man?
I'm good.
Good.
Doing some stuff around the house.
Nice.
Heck yeah.
Nice.
Making it look like Numenor, right? What did you think of this episode 4, man?
Another great episode.
Right?
I watched it. Yeah, I watched it almost 5 times.
Dude, jeez.
Fell asleep a couple of times. Fell asleep a couple of times because I watching it at night too. But it's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's picking up. I would say Lottie and I watched it a couple of times as well too. This is the one that I've rewatched the most, actually, just out of excitement and kind of there's a lot in there. I really, really enjoy it. So
yeah, it got right to the action.
So yeah.
I think Lane said it on the podcast, you know, it's like if anybody was waiting, this is the episode that they're going to be picking it up on. So
yeah, man. Yeah, for sure.
It was pretty amazing. And I wasn't like that first watch through, I wasn't feeling it, but it was because it was late at night. So, but upon more time with this episode, it really has grown on me. I mean, that, what'd you think of seeing the wave come over too, and almost kind of seeing a preview of what's to come? That was crazy, wasn't it?
It was. And at first, you know, you're taken off guard because she just snaps right out of it.
Right. It was,
seeing it a couple of times. It made sense when Galadriel saw it more because, you know, it's almost solidifying that fact of what's going to happen. So
yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
What did you think of Adar? What did you think of finally getting to see this Lord Father of the Orcs? It was crazy, that scene.
Well, let me just take a look because I wrote some stuff down.
That's what I'm talking about, Andrew.
Boys,
see, I did write something about Adar. I mean, it's more along the lines of it's pretty simple, you know, if you know the story of Middle Earth and everything that takes place. But he's building the army, so he's getting everybody ready. And I think that the old man with Theo at the end, I think that what he's doing, Adar, is creating an army of men also, which I think you said, I think you said a couple of episodes, I think it was on the first Hobbit Hotline where you said, that maybe Theo is one of the kings. So, and something that I was in listening to the podcast, what Macy said made me think of also was she mentioned something about, is there a possibility that the blade can have anything to do with the forging? And it made me think that is that possibly that blade broken up and used pieces of it to create all of those rings where there can be a stronghold and a connection for Sauron, you know, with that.
Wow. That's a really interesting thought, right? Because we don't know. I was thinking that even with the Mithril, Andrew, I was like, what if some of these rings, like, because Mithril's obviously coming into play in this episode that was revealed what was in the box, right? And right. So I'm thinking, like, what are these rings going to be actually made of? Like, we know, and I don't know, because my ring lore is very partial, right? So I don't know exactly if Tolkien ever talked about what they were crafted from, but, you know, I know that certain properties or powers or persuasions that they can have, but to think about what they're actually crafted from, yeah, like could you fashion some of these things from a blade that has real power? And I mean, think about that too. Like, if you crafted a ring from a blade that's killed and shed blood, like that'd be a dark that talk about mingling of blood right there. I mean, that would be. That's a crazy, crazy cool thought. I love that.
And he has the one ring, mm-hmm. and then using that blade to kind of control them all.
Do you think it is like Sauron's main sword? Do you think that's what's going on, or is it a lesser weapon, or what do you think is going on with the significance of that?
I don't necessarily think it's his main sword, but mm-hmm. maybe something of his use, and maybe it's a device that it is being used for that.
I like it.
Yeah, that's nice.
What'd you think of Arondir this episode? Catching the arrow, you know, out of midair.
That was awesome.
Wasn't that, that was awesome. I mean, I still have never gotten over my realization. It took Ez seeing it and going, he caught that arrow. And I was like, wow, yeah, I'm a dumb idiot. I thought he was just getting artistic with his delivery. But like to see it in the actual scene, I heard some people, of course, and they were, you know, mocking the scene. And I was like, what is wrong? People who are hellbent on finding something wrong with everything. I really don't understand. I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was really well done. I felt like it had more weight than even some like montages from Lord of the Rings, honestly. Mm-hmm. What did you feel about that moment? And then their escape, well, almost, you know?
Right. Well, people have to just lighten up a little. It's a fantasy world. And
amen,
like
baby.
Happen.
Amen.
Agreed, right? Andrew. Agreed.
Well, I mean, this is,
you know, we're not elves. We're not dwarves. Right. We're none of that. And
right.
This is what we want to enjoy. And people who don't want to enjoy things, maybe they just keep quiet. But I thought
it
was great.
I'm not even a man. You know what I mean? Like, we're not elves. We're not dwarves. We're not hobbits. I'm not even a man. It's a little boy. I'm just a little boy.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Just enjoying the ride.
Right.
That's right, baby.
But
that's right.
But yeah, no, it was great. And then the singing as the sunset.
Oh,
yeah, at first I thought
that transition was.
Yeah. I thought at first, and my wife had mentioned, she's like, is he making the sun rise with that, or come clear with the sword?
Wow.
Wow.
So. Dude. I said, I don't really know. I said, maybe it's possible. I said, I don't really know, but
wow,
that was,
it seems like that sun rises, you know, pretty quick or something, right? Like almost like it was urged along a little bit by,
right. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Wow.
I'm such an idiot. I didn't even realize. For some reason, I thought it was a sunset, but we just came through the night, didn't we? Yeah, oh my God. Yeah. No, it's a sunrise. It's you guys.
Okay, okay, totally, okay.
But I said sunset also, but.
I think literally in my head I was thinking like, yeah, sunset. I, you know, maybe because I'm a pessimist, sometimes I see a sunset instead of a sunrise, but it's a new day. It's them. Mm-hmm. It's the new day saving them. Yeah. Wow. Wow. You guys blowing my minds with the simplest things. Okay. What else? What else did you take away from this episode that you enjoyed?
Well, I like that they went right in with the Numenorean, the story of, mm-hmm. of the father, and explained that, you know, what's going on with him.
Yes.
And I think that you know, that makes it exciting too. And then to see, you know, all of the Numenoreans vowing to serve for the queen.
It's pretty cool, wasn't it? Yeah.
And I know you guys talked about the Seeing Stone, and at the end where she sent Galadriel off.
Right. Yeah.
I personally thought that before she made that decision, like publicly, she touched the stone again and saw what was to come if she did it. And
okay.
instead of us seeing the instant return back, I think that they kind of cut that part out and left it at her turning around and then at that point basically realizing that this is what's going to be no matter what happens. And if it's going to be something that she can, you know, they'll lose their land, but they won't lose their people. The best way she could do it is to urge the people along to follow through.
I like it.
Wow.
I like that.
It was a really powerful scene. I didn't expect it to be that evocative. Like, it was just great. I mean, there was no dialogue. It was just that beautiful singing in that part of the score, and just a lot of looks. And I was like, man, this feels like aspects of the trilogy.
That, yeah, there's just a lot of like body language conveyance. There's the eye gaze. All those things are they're really doing a good job with like the nonverbal
subtle stuff.
You know, I went back and looked, and you know, we talked about fatherhood and just fathers in the last as we did our breakdown, our review. Could you guys? I went back and watched it a couple times. Go look at the number of times a father is referenced. It's like way more than I thought. I mean, it's just like so many times, and it just was so kind of cool to see that theme. I think the writing, people have criticized the writing a little bit. I kind of think it's on another level, to be honest with you. I think they're like weaving in connective pieces and stuff. And like, I went back and listened to the Hallbrand stuff, and there are things going on in terms of like, you could make so many connections to so many different characters. I also, and it's all working together. The costuming for this Adar character. And I don't know if you guys saw like the post that I had.
Oh yeah. The three Silmarils on his, arm.
They're on his shoulder. Yeah. I was like, wait, what? So,
and if he is Maglor, that's his left arm, and that's the hand that he would have, you know, it's the hand that's burned that touched the Silmarils or the Silmaril.
Right. Yeah.
That's crazy. Wow.
Yeah. So wild, man. But
so many layers. I mean, it really was. I was talking to my parents about it because they're watching. They're pretty excited, and my dad was like, "Yep, favorite episode." Sarah said the same thing. Favorite episode. My dad was like, "This just gets." Better and better and better. I even heard one critic who had been overly critical of previous episodes said this one was pretty good. I like this one.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, this is, it's interesting to see. Like, I think my favorite is still, I loved episode one. I don't know why. It was all that first age stuff. It was like the emphasis on
so much Galadriel. Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like really, in the same way that the Fellowship is my favorite movie. I felt really thrust back into Middle Earth and, you know, Numenor, Valinor, the Arda, whatever. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask something, Andrew. Oh, Andrew, okay. So check this out. One of these theories that's floating around there about Hallbrand that I think might be, and someone brought it up. I can't remember if it was Cam or someone calling in the Hobbit Hotline or what when it was. And then we've also been sent it several times by Upper. So thank you guys for keeping us on. You know, as and I, like, we're not, you know, my phone ain't a smartphone, and we're not living on the internet right now. We're trying to recoup in between recording sessions, but between watching and recording, we're freaking exhausted. But
crazy, yeah.
One of these theories out there is that Hallbrand is the future king of the dead.
Right, right.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, that makes. I like that better than Sauron. I like it better than my weird father of Rohan thing. You know, like a group of a king who's a king of a group of men in the south, right? Like he will have experiences with Isildur because they're all going to go to Middle Earth and fight. They will have fought alongside each other, and Isildur will call upon him someday, and he'll be like, "Nah, or I'm good. Do it yourself." And I just think
And we could get there by the end of season 5 or something. You know what I mean? We could see.
You could. And to see that arc that Hallbrand would have would be crazy.
Like, that's a character nobody was talking about before the season started. So that's huge.
I know.
Right. That sounds like an awesome theory. I mean, I would have never even thought of something like that.
That's, me neither. Like, I forget that, you know, he's a part. Like, yeah. Go ahead.
No, Lions. I was just going to say that you say it all the time. Like, so many different perspectives and point of views, and everybody's looking at a little different thing here and there. And it's just, you know, the things that people come up with, sometimes it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's because the thing, I'm the same way. I never would have thought of him. And because for whatever reason, I place him only in the Third Age. I place the King of the Dead in the Third Age. And it's like, well, no, the real tragedy, like, that's his redemption. The real tragedy is it happens in the Second Age, you know, like when it's go time at the end of the Second Age, and he doesn't show up. He doesn't honor his oath. Mm-hmm. So you could even show Hallbrand, if he is the King of the Dead, like prior to that, you know, making that oath and vowing to Isildur, and then Isildur calling upon him and him saying, nah, nope. So I think that would make me feel better than Sauron. Cause I don't know. I just feel like it's one of those ones that's too obvious. Like, we're all looking for Sauron. And Cam, I think Cam said it best. Like, Sauron's not going to be revealed. We're not going to see it coming. I don't think. I think we're going to be able to see it coming. And that's something we talked about for years. Was like, will they try and fool us with who Annatar is and all this stuff? The deception of the deception that Sauron, you know, commits. Will they be able to fool people who are even looking for it? And I think that's what they're going for. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. Agree.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think D3 and D4
are getting ready
for the fall of the elves in their minds? Like the fall of men? Is there anything that would point to something like that?
Well, they're definitely getting ready for something. I mean, because it's so crazy to see how in tune they are to like their intuition. Right Lane is up the hair. I don't know, I was gonna say on their neck and their beard, whatever you want to say, like they got hair everywhere. I don't know, it's standing on end. You know what I mean? Like they're definitely sensing something. So it, you know, I think they're always looking for opportunity, aren't they? They're always looking for opportunity to kind of get one up on them. And
I mean, I would just say no, I agree. I don't know exactly in terms of like lore, I'm aloof. I have no idea. But what I took away from this most recent episode is that previously the first three episodes, in my mind, it was D4, who was kind of more just wanting to make everything work and was very optimistic about, you know, who Elrond is and this, like, you know, mending this friendship, and that D3 was the one who was way more pessimistic. But that conversation at the end, when they're talking about, when he says, you know, what does your intuition tell you? And and to see that they're of the same mind. Like all this stuff where D4 seems kind of like torn between his friendship and then also doing what his people need. I don't know if that's as conflicted as it made me feel anyway. Like he's playing Elrond too. Like him giving him the Mithril. He's like, I know what you're going to do with it. You're going to betray me. Right. Like it was. Right. And I think we're going to see that this next episode. I think Elrond's going to be so overwhelmed that he either shows Celebrimbor or he shows Gil-galad or he shows both. And then he's going to be presented with this moral conflict where he's going to have to tell Durin that he broke the secret or maybe not make it even worse. I mean, I just felt like that was bait. Like D4 was like, yep, we'll make you prove it. You said you're here for friendship. You said that you got no other reason for being here, and I don't believe you, you know, just like my father doesn't believe you. Mm-hmm. So to me, I felt very like, yeah, like you guys are saying they're on the lookout. They are taking care of number one, which dwarves seem to, and maybe rightly so, they're very defensive of their culture. And I thought there was a little more, I don't know, like a little more inner conflict in D4. I don't know that there is. I think maybe that was all kind of a play that he's doing to try and gain access to Elrond. I don't know.
Think so?
Oh, that breaks my heart. I don't know. I know, and I think that's kind of what they're setting us up for. I think this is going to end in heartbreak. I think this friendship is supposed to make us think like, oh, this is so great, but we know it doesn't last. It can't last.
See, I kept thinking that what was going to happen is like you said, Celebrimbor. I keep wanting to say Celebrimbez because it's my guy. but you got me tripping out here. But I think he's gonna see some of that Mithril, and he's gonna say,
yeah,
his fingers are gonna start itching for it. You know what I mean?
Well. And if the next episode preview, he's talking about it. He said he's saying it seems to be lit from within.
Oh, man,
and it's like, wow. So he showed Celebrimbor.
He's gonna go tell Gilgalad. Gilgalad's gonna be like,
I know.
I want answers now. And Elrond's gonna be like, I swore an oath. Which that oath was sick, by the way. Hand on stone, you know.
Hand on stone, hand to stone, baby. Yeah, swear to God. Man. Yep, same thing. It was really cool.
You guys know that's rooted. Like, so we were actually when Lottie and I were out, we were doing our sort of some of our. You know, vows and stuff.
Oh,
and you can oath stones. You find a stone.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You swear that oath to earth.
Swear
baby.
Upon it.
Like, that makes sense. Stone.
That makes sense too with them being kind of Scottish, right? Or Scottish feeling anyway.
Right.
Or like
it's
Highlanders.
A similar custom. Yeah. In that whole region.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The standing stones and all that stuff. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Really cool. I thought that was great. Andrew, what else, man? What's maybe like a final thought for this week? What was something you're looking forward to? I mean, we're halfway through the episode. Halfway through the season.
Yeah, halfway through.
And I honestly kind of like from things that we saw originally in the trailer, I thought we wouldn't get some of the. I know everyone's talking about how slow it's moving, or a lot of people are talking about how slow it's moving. But in my mind, I'm like, wow, we still got four more episodes left. And I feel like we've seen a lot of this stuff in previews and trailers. Like, I don't know what else. Like, we've got this big battle that's going to happen, unless they take four episodes to get there. The big battle in the Southlands, but there's a lot of stuff that I have no idea where this is going. So what are you looking forward to moving on?
Well, I didn't even really watch the previews, know, any of those.
All right.
So I don't really know what there was. So I've been
good man.
Just going along watching. Yeah. Cause I don't want to get too overwhelmed when I, even with like the Star Wars stuff, you just, you sit back and you just kind of wait.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that what more like to put it like a the finishing on it would be it's almost like the setup like you talk about the long game you're seeing all of the beginning stages of the war that's going to shape Middle Earth like starting now.
Wow. Yeah.
So you know, the highs and the lows and everything from, you know, where Sauron takes, you know, control and then loses it and then almost, you know, until the ring is destroyed. This is the very beginning of those, that's the stages.
Yeah.
Right. Wow.
So.
Good.
But that's about it.
Yeah, good stuff.
Beautiful, man.
Dang.
I love it.
Dude, I love that. By the way, Andrew, but if you have time, we better hear from you next week, man. Cause it's like, I'm loving this regular.
I was just going to say now, well, we'll talk to you in a week. Like next week, better. We count on it.
It's so
you
much
know?
Fun. Yeah. We count on it now. I'm just like, yeah, that's great. So,
yeah. So I mean, my wife, she's got the kids up there upstairs. So she just, she's good with that kind of stuff. She's like, go down, do what you got to do. And
yeah, man.
God bless her. Wow. Tell her we said thanks,
time with
man.
The guys. Yeah. Tell her we said thank you.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
All right, Andrew.
Hey. All right, brother. We'll talk. We'll touch, talk to you next week, Andrew. Yep.
All right. See you later.
All right.
See you, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I love talking to Andrew.
I do too. I just love when he comes in. I just like instantly know that voice. And I'm like, there he
is.
It's Andrew. Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
I love it. He's always got good thoughts too. Because he's also coming at it with some fresh eyes and really like, you know, just has a really interesting take on where things, thinking about the sword and the rising sun and stuff is pretty awesome. Let me take another one. Let's bop right on in here. Here we go.
Welcome to the Hobbit Hotline. It's Monday night, so you know it's right. What's going on? Give us a ring. You did. Is it a ring of power? We don't know. Is it a lesser ring? We'll find out. Who we got here?
What's up? It's Matthew Johnson.
It's Matty J, baby.
Getting the regulars in here. That's what I'm talking about.
In mountain time, dog. Calling from the misty mountains of the United States of America. Hey. What's up, dude?
Matthew, yeah. Tell us how you are first. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself here.
Well, you know, I was going to tell you guys a story about, you know, when my father, George Washington, single-handedly saved the United States of America. The what? Valor were so impressed that they just took him up into the sky.
Let's go. But, you know.
Dude, now, hold on a second, Matthew. Are you really a descendant of George Washington? Because I feel like there's something here.
Oh, no. I'm like a...
Oh, dang it, man. I was going to say, wow, you had me. You could have said yes, Lane. Yes. I would have believed you. What a cool... So, did you like that? Did you like how it was just kind of like a... Because in my mind, you know, when we talked about the show, I was like, are we going to see some of these crazy things, like, either shown in flashback or something? And to see some of them just kind of referenced and mentioned. So it is cool that they're mentioned. Do you like that? Is it enough for you? Do you eventually want to see these things realized someday? You know, I was the one who was bringing up Almo. I thought the sea monster was going to be Almo, and we were going to get, like, a conversation on the beach with the Lord of the Seas. So do you like the way that's done, or do you want more? Is it okay for now?
I love it. I want more Silmarillion in there. I understand they can't do as much, but I think it was a good thing because people kind of forget, you know, who Elrond is, and
absolutely.
Then he just pulled out the ultimate flex. Yeah, when my dad saved the whole world.
Right, I really miss him,
but I think he'll be okay.
And he'd probably be disappointed in me, or at least I hope he wouldn't. Right?
Are we really mocking Elrond up in here? I swear. Is this really happening?
No, we're mocking George Washington. No, we're not even doing that. Okay, we're mocking you. Okay, wow. We're mocking you. You didn't get that?
This is a mockery. Straight mockery.
Matthew, what did you think of this episode, dude? I know Ez has some burning questions. I'm going to ask the general one. I'm going to let him kind of General Washington. Then I'm going to let him steer the conversation. What did you think of episode four? We're halfway through the season, man.
I liked it. I felt like it was a bit more of a bridge episode.
Yeah, okay.
Like, it's kind of just setting up the whole back half of the season. Unfortunately, I've only had time to see it once, so I'm hoping to dive in more and you know, kind of you miss so much on that first watch.
You really do.
Late at night.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yep. I can attest to that.
Before Ez hits me with these questions, I had a little note. I thought I'd be interested if you guys had picked up on this or other people had. But there's all these awesome echoes to, like, the trilogy dialogue. And so, the one I picked up on is Galadriel's in jail with Hallbrand, and he's making fun of her. And I think it was then that she was talking about men, and she's like, they're scattered and divided.
Yes.
And my head just immediately went back to, like, Gandalf and Elrond talking.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, and he's
scattered, divided, like, leaderless.
Turn.
Yep.
And then flash to Vigo. So there's been a ton of those.
Yeah.
And I can't remember them all, but it's just so much fun hearing those.
Yeah.
It is kind of cool because the implication too is that, like, these nothing is new under the sun, right? And then also to think about how, you know, Galadriel and Elrond are going to talk about mankind a lot, you know, in the future.
Yeah.
And the same, you know, in the same way that I repeat phrases all the time, Ez repeats phrases all the time. You know, I mean, like, you have ways of saying things that would be passed on, and then someone else would say them, and they wouldn't even remember that they weren't their words originally. You know what I mean? And so I liked that a lot. I was a fan of that. And it also is kind of like a nice, it's like a nice, I don't even know. It's like a touchstone without being too obvious. I don't know. For me, anyway, I think it's an homage.
It's such a great homage.
That's a great way to say it. Yeah. Perfectly. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, Ez, go at him.
Well, yeah. So a couple of things. I mean, first of all, I agree. Like, I'm actually scrolling back through here trying to find some, even though, because I you hear them and you're sort of like, they're not like even full quotes or whatever. They're just little tiny, like, parts of phrases. Or groups of words, right, that stick out, that word, which is a phrase, by the way, groups, okay, whatever, you know, but that but that do kind of remind you of the trilogy. So I like that you mentioned that. I also want to mention there's a moment too where we talked about Shakespearean language, and I think we should have asked Anthony about this yesterday when we were talking, which is crazy. We've been, like, doing three episodes a week. We're losing our minds over here, Matthew. It's nuts.
You guys are heroes.
It's crazy. It's actually crazy. But we had him on, and I there was a line where it was like, I think it's what's the other guy who's in the Vendiel?
Vallandil,
who says something like coming, going, what does it matter? Right. Coming, staying, whatever, something like that. And I think it's almost like a line directly out of a Shakespeare play. And it's a real Shakespearean style. Like he's asking a seal, where is he going? Is he staying or whatever? So I keep trying to find you know, coming, going, what's it? I don't forget. I'm trying to find it. I can't find it. So if somebody sees it in the comments or somebody can pop in, that'd be great. No, to Matthew, what I wanted to ask was, let me see if I can find it real quick. Here we go. Yeah, I hit this up on the screen for the longest time. So bath time with Vaughn. This is no joke. Someone's in the chat called bath time with Vaughn. I don't know what it means. If it's bad.
Wow. Okay. It's
bath time up in here, and I think
it's been hanging out with Chris Howell.
I think it's funny. I don't know if I should. Yeah.
So in the throat.
Just bath time. Three is company. Conspiracy all around. So there's too many clues that Hallbrand is Sauron in episode 3. They're literally showing. And I didn't catch this. I went and looked for it. Episode 3, they're literally showing a puppet of Galadriel on strings right before they cut to him.
To him.
Now, come on. I mean, so Matthew, what do you think about this? There's almost too much. I saw him in the chat kind of saying it feels too easy. It feels like, is that
too obvious?
Too obvious, there's but then are they going to double down on that?
Yeah, there's a whole conversation too, Matthew, where he's like essentially outlining how Galadriel should get Queen Muriel to change her mind, and it sounds lot like his whole, you know, Sauron's plan for the rings. And so that's another thing that people are like, well, he's clearly, do you think it's too obvious though? Like what are your feelings on Hobbit?
I think it's way too obvious.
Yeah.
No, it hasn't changed, because it's just, it's like the great mystery of the show, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who is Sauron? And I just, I don't think they're going to give it to us this early. They're going to keep us guessing all over the place, because I mean, we got 5 seasons to go, and we were just talking about the writing. Like, these guys are clearly operating on a really high level, and so I think it's just red herrings abound. I mean, because they completely threw me with the Theo and the old creepy butcher conversation.
You
know, where he's like Sauron's in the skies, and I'm like, what? Like,
are we
not supposed to think the stranger is Sauron? So they're throwing us all over the place.
Yeah, it's wild.
I almost feel like I'd be disappointed if Hallbrand was Sauron. Do you feel the same way? Like, there's a part of me that'd be like, oh man, that's okay. Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
It feels too easy, but at the same time, I think it's gonna be someone who's a little less, I don't know, man. It is tough. It is tough, because I think I would be disappointed because we're all guessing it. But at the same time, I mean, how clever can you be? You know, there's got to be like a limit to it.
He has to be somebody.
Guessing everybody on the screen. That's, you know,
unless
he's not there, which would be real clever. I mean, he's season 2.
I think Nori's showing some Sauron traits. I don't know. Nori, I think she might be him.
It's definitely Nori's friend. I'm totally spacing
out. Poppy's
Poppy.
Yeah, she's
Poppy is Sauron. Oh my.
No family. I mean, come on, you know.
I have a hard point I gotta bring up.
Yeah.
So I actually traveling for work today, driving in the car, just jamming to the pod, and I heard the last episode, and everyone was like disappointed about the Harfoot, you know, putting the week in the back.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, it's not Hobbit-like. I was kind of thinking about it, and I'm like, I don't know. These are the same people who, like, tried to sell off Bilbo's house.
That's true.
And they're like, well, don't go by the water, otherwise you're going to die. Mm-hmm. And so there's a bit of, like,
that's a great point.
You know, meanness with the Hobbits, where they're like, well, yeah, you got to, you know, don't be dumb. Mind your own business and watch out for yourself. So I totally could see the Hobbits being like, I don't know, better stick these people in the back here. Like, the Sackville Bagginses are definitely doing that.
Well, I mean, that's a fair point, right? I think because not all Hobbits are as hospitable as others. And even the ones who are, like, a lot of times it's not because they want to be, it's because society has taught them they have to be. Or it's like, you know, it's like, yeah. Well, we can't be rude. We can't see, you know, appear to be rude because it's just not what hobbits do. So that's a fair point, man. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hobbits secretly ruthless. That's my hot take.
They got to survive. I mean, they have to make it, you know.
It's they just... do. They're, yeah, they got to take care of themselves. I mean, that's very true. All right, as I keep stepping on your toes, I'm sorry,
no,
man.
No.
Go.
Oh, what? No, I'm just pulling up some funny. We got a pretty lively chat in here. So, like, aggressively relaxing. This is again, another sick YouTube. Aggressively relaxing. I feel like complaining that something inspired by Tolkien is slow is like complaining about water being wet.
Right. Yes.
I actually like that a lot because people who are like, oh, I don't know, such a slow burn. It's like, have you read the stories?
The books. I had the same thought. I was listening to another critic who's like, I mean, could this get any slower or more boring? I'm like, you've never read the books, clearly. Because most people can't get through them because at times they are incredibly boring. Like they are minutia, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I insane? Was saying the other night. Yeah. I don't think it's slow at all.
Well, see, okay. Now that's you are in. I mean, no, there is a group of people who pop right in and absolutely love it. Right. I was about to say, we were just talking to a guy, Anthony, who was like, man, it was a lot getting into. And it just felt like now there's two different things, there, I guess. Right. Where it's intimidating. It's the writing style. It's the descriptive writing style that I think kind of causes people to sometimes get a little bogged down in that. And they you need to push through that or you need to read it. I don't know, a little bit more fluently, whatever you want to say, but they struggle with that piece. They get lost in it, and then it ends up taking them a little longer to get in the story. So that might be reader versus like not more of the readers.
Well,
you mean the show? Are you talking about the show, Matthew? Because I feel like the show has gone really quickly.
Yeah,
too.
That's what I'm saying. I think the show's going super quick. I don't think it's slow at all, and so. You know, I don't know. I mean, if I'm conditioned just, you know, based on my taste that it feels fast. But, like, I mean, the first 50 pages of the Silmarillion is about, like, the Valar singing.
Right, so, right. Okay,
the
yeah,
point
true.
About, like, Tolkien being slow right. and true, but I feel right. like the show is just flying.
Yeah, actually, I have to agree, so too. I don't – so that's just a common, you know – criticism out there. I don't feel like it's
no, well,
super slow either. I
feel like people are saying, I feel like here's my thing with critics of the show. They're saying both. Like they're saying everything. And I'm like, well, which
one
is
all over the place,
yourself?
Bouncing
it
around
is.
Too fast, it's but it's
like,
also
I'm
too
just,
slow.
Right. And like there's too many characters to keep track of, but it's so boring. I'm like, you guys are just literally, you clearly don't want this to work. You're not even letting yourselves get like you're forgetting the childlike wonder that you enter into Middle Earth with. Yes, like I think Kurt said it perfectly, right? He was like, I'm loving what they're doing and the changes they're making, I'm digging them. I'm okay with the changes they're making. And that's the thing, right? Like you have to be okay. It's an adaptation. It's not a literal representation or literal actualization of this age, of this story, whatever. So you have to be able to go, okay, Am I okay with the changes? All right, then it can work. I challenge anyone who's a literal Tolkienist to go watch the trilogy that we all hold in such high regard and tell me there aren't changes that you have to be okay with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Lane, on that line, I wanted to make a point. So you guys were talking about people getting fired up about the elves not being elf-like.
Yeah.
And I guess I would say, like, maybe read the Silmarillion, because I remember the first time I read it, the elves don't really act elf-like like they do in The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings. I mean, they're getting jealous. They're, like, killing people. Cause,
the kinslaying,
you know,
right? That doesn't sound
like,
very
marry
elven.
This person.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fëanor and his sons and, like, Fingal's getting jealous about the jewels and... Even in like Beren and Luthien, there's like that court guy who really likes Luthien and then hates Beren
and tries to kill him.
And, you know, so there's all these like things. And if you think about that, it's like, well, that's not very elf-like. That's
not very elf-like.
Like
okay.
A five-year-old just chilling in the trees. And so I think the difference is it's a different era of the elf, right? Like they're almost younger in a sense. And so... And it's like their time. And so you see more of them. Whereas in the Third Age, they're kind of reserved. They've kind of given up on Middle Earth. And so they just kind of like, you know, sing songs and then speak wisdom.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that's well said and a fair point too, because, and even if you think about Tolkien's writing, right? He wrote The Hobbit kind of first. I know that he wrote some of the, like, the skeleton outline for the mythology in the trenches and everything, but he really had it fleshed out in The Hobbit first, The Lord of the Rings, and then The Silmarillion. Am I wrong on that? So it would only make sense that you would get, like, less developed, more kind of flat elves in the stories that we know so much in The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, and then a much more, like, I don't know, complicated telling of who elves really are in The Silmarillion. Maybe that's the better argument, is to say, you know, like, go read The Silmarillion and tell us that they're not complicated and they're not, quote unquote, more human beings than we think of them as in our most accessible story of Middle-earth.
Yeah, they're super emotional in the earlier ages. And so it's, yes, I mean, they're still, you know, crazy ethereal creatures and all that, but it is different.
Wow, beautiful.
Man. I gotta ask you, I gotta ask you about Adar, because
yeah.
When I first saw it, when they said father, my mind immediately was like, oh, was this like the first elf that got tortured by Morgoth and turned into an orc? That was like my initial theory, but I heard some of your guys' others, and I want to know where you landed.
Wow. Go ahead, buddy. Cause I know you've been thinking a lot about Adar. It's either, dude. you're either scrolling through images of Celebrimbor, shirtless, or you're pondering who Adar is.
Are those out yet?
Yeah. I think
Lottie has, I think Lottie has drawn them for him, actually.
Yeah. We've got some concept art going, working on that.
We need that posted on the
working
Instagram.
On season two concept concept images. Try and get on the show. I've been thinking a lot about it. And so it wasn't until we were on the episode, and I wanted to give credit to, you said it was David, right? So someone in our comments, yes. who left this idea that to brought up Maglor, just name drop Maglor, threw him in there, the second son of Feanor. And you're like, I'm like, wait, you know, I thought they all were dead. You know what I mean? I thought they all died. And so then you go and you're like, hold on a second. No, he actually did not. And there it is. His fate is unknown. And you look a little further. Sorry if this is spoiler for anybody. I mean, this is, I don't know what you call it. Cause we have no idea. Everybody's guessing. Oh, yeah, you know what I mean? Everyone's just throwing out stuff and
go.
Yeah. So like, his left hand and his left face are both burnt. Like, he's wearing that black gauntlet. Yeah. It looks like his hand's been destroyed, and it looks like he was holding a Silmaril. It all makes sense. He's got three Silmarils on the side of his shoulder. And I was like, okay. Also, I'm watching through, and I said Maglor, and Lottie was like, you mean Magrot? And I was like, Magrot?
And oh yeah. The one orc. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But it's like, you get to choose any name you want. You could call them anything you want. You chose Magrot as Maglor steps on the screen. So, I mean, that's the kind of cleverness I think that they are laying down in this. I could be
so wrong, many levels.
Yeah, I was like, that's kind of interesting that they did that. And then you go back and you look at it and you're like, clearly that's got to be who that is. And then he wants to be godlike because he's still on a vengeance tour. I mean, he essentially lost one of the Silmarils into the sea. So that just, or whatever, hey, however, I forget how he lost it, but he lets go of it because he's, I don't know. So I just think it's interesting.
Is he the one who threw it into the sea?
I think so.
It's been a few years.
Yeah.
Because it burned him, right? And he just tossed it into the
sea. He couldn't hold it. He couldn't hold it anymore. Yeah. He had to let go. It was sort of like, what was his name? Porkins on the run. He's like, get out of there. No, no, I can hold it. No, get out of there. Oh my gosh. But I could go either way with if he's somebody else too. I feel like they've set that up as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like it because I really like that theory. Like David brought it up. I did a little, you know, digging onto who Maglor was because I had no idea. And I was like, wow, this makes sense. This you know, they talked about the Silmarils several times. They brought Feanor up. Also could be that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A connection with Nerd of the Rings has a great, I mean, all his videos are awesome, but he has a really great video that's all about the Sons of Feanor and the Oath of the Sons of Feanor, and there's a little tiny spot in there where he talks about Maglor kind of being like, after it's like after Eärendil is taken into the sky or something, mm-hmm. to bring the star, move the star back and forth, that he is kind of like, for a time, a father figure-ish to Elros and Elrond. I'm like, okay, yeah, so that fits in there. That plays that angle. It also has like this whole implication that he is some like what, like uncle, crazy step-uncle or something. Not step-uncle, but like distant uncle to Celebrimbor, you know, right? Because Celebrimbor is also descendant from Feanor. So like all these different angles. And then just the idea that like it's almost like you would have to go looking for these characters where their fate is unknown, because you're like, oh, that's so great. I'm so glad Tolkien wrote it that way, because we can use this guy and he's going to fit and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, I think, and how many people know who Maglor is?
I think 90% the most searched term of a guy on the internet right now. People are like,
there you go.
Well, actually, just on Tolkien Gateway, you know.
What do you guys think of this, though? So, like, I'm just, you know, going to play devil's advocate here, is like Feanor and his sons hate Morgoth, right? And he took everything from them, and then they committed atrocities because of that. And so Sauron is like essentially, you know, the next Morgoth here. And so
that's
would,
a fair point.
You know,
why
despite
would he fight?
How far he had fallen and everything, why is he joining him? And then how did he become like father to the orcs?
Wow.
I don't know.
I mean, that's a great...
Yeah, that's a really good count,
The only thing I can think of, right, is just knowing, and this might not even work, because I think that maybe they, in their minds, the Sons of Feanor justified the Kinslings, right, and taking part in that and kind of leading those. But like, maybe that has had some sort of... In the same way that once he got the Silmaril, he couldn't handle it, right? Whatever was burning him, whether it was guilt or like the actual object itself or both, maybe something over time, out of time, you know, out of knowledge to us, something over time in taking part of like slaying his own kind made him just say, you know what, fine, let's just embrace. I don't know. It's a great question. Like, did he just say, I'll embrace this and I'll become what I hated or part of what I hated most? And then like, that whole thing when they talk about Beleriand, right? And he's talking about, it was cool because we get that little idea of where Arondir is from and how old Arondir is too, right? Mm-hmm. We get kind of a little bit of a context there. But then also how he talks about, you know, walking and this with the sage blossoms and all that stuff. And so we see this lighter youth. But then also, it went as just like when we were talking about the soundtrack, I couldn't keep hold of thoughts. I don't know where I was going with that. Forget it.
Here's the thing. Despite me, you know, singing to the rocks, I'm pretty sure like every prediction I made last week was wrong because we saw Arondir right away. So no one should listen to me.
No,
I love it though. The thing that's cool about making predictions is the more bold, the more excited, like the more they build anticipation for me. Like I was literally in the back of my head, I was thinking, are we going to see Adar? Are we not going to see Arondir? Your words were echoing in my head. I was like, I don't even know. I'm like, now I don't know. Like, I hope so, but it like builds into the experience. So I love everything you're saying, man. I just had to keep it up.
Yeah,
for sure. Guys, I will part ways and let others in, but I have to say I have been loving Lane's cricket in the episodes. It brings me back to when you used to play like the background noises during the reread.
Oh my crickets! Oh, dude, it's so
Lottie
bad.
Loves him.
I, I saw Ez and I was like, bro, there are like six that must have just mated in my garage. Massive. And I cannot find last when we recorded with Macy, Kurt and Dave, I was like, cause I had listened to part of a previous episode. I'm like, oh my God, you can hear those crickets like having a field day. So when we were recording with them, I had to come outside because, and they're outside too, but in the garage, it just echoes. Right. And every time I'd approach one to try and, you know, send it to the Undying Lands, like they would just go silent like they do. And I was like, where in the world is it? I can't see it. I can't hear it now. So yeah, I guess it does kind of come back to the, it's maybe full circle that way, huh? We got real life. Yeah. Ambiance going on, but I'm glad you enjoyed it, Matthew. I'm glad. That's good. That's really good. Yeah. It makes me feel good that you're digging it, dude.
Yeah.
Definitely. You guys take care and we'll hear from you next week.
All right. Too, brother. We better hear from you next week.
Yeah, yeah. We want to hear you again next week. Yeah.
Hop in here if you can.
Thanks, Matthew.
All right. I'll do my best.
All right. Thank you, brother. Bye. Dude. Oh my gosh, man. It's so cool.
I'd say, yeah, it is. And he's actually got great thoughts. And there's so many good, you know, the best thing the show's done is there's so many counters like that too.
Yes.
Adar, because you got Mike Upshaw in here. Yeah.
I was going to say, I love all these. Keep reading these comments because I love people who might not want to call in too.
Yeah,
just leave
in
the comments.
It's like
great.
It. Yeah.
It's awesome.
So, yeah. So Mike Upshaw was talking about the Dark Elf Ael and his son, Maeglin. Yeah, I thought I'm saying this right. So, check this out. Go look them up. I mean, pretty interesting. Just a little deep dive. Did not know this character. Just did a quick little research. Had heard it before. I've seen lore videos on him and stuff like that, but I didn't really think he'd be a player or anybody who we should, you know, be paying attention to or locked in on. And again, Adar shows up and everyone's going, hold on, that guy looks like an elf. That guy looks awful lot like an elf and looks pretty old and seasoned. It might be, has been through some stuff in the first age, you know?
Okay, I got to know too. Mike, have you just been lurking in the shadows for years? Did you go away and make a return? Or like, what's happening? Like, we begin with Mike. It makes me kind of leery that the end is near. Like, we began with Mike Upshaw, and now he's returning to us. Is this a bad omen? Is this a wave?
Yeah.
I want to know, like, what's going on, dude?
Right,
I love
it,
though. Like, I love hearing his, because I remember early on, he would bring these deep lore cuts. And he would do it in a way that is my favorite way that it's done. It's done with respect. It's done with teaching. It's done with kindness. Oh, and like, but he has a crazy knowledge of what's come before. And I'm glad he's back in the conversation.
Yeah, he's been dropping some knowledge over in the Facebook group. And so, Mike, we definitely appreciate that. And that's what I've always said. I love that, man. That's the kind of thing. If you're a teacher and you know this stuff or you got a mind for it, drop that knowledge and drop it in a way that's sort of, even if you don't really like. So even if you weren't a fan of the show and there's some lore going on, you can see the things that they're trying to do that other people can't see. I'm like, there's your avenue right there. That's what people want. They're looking for that kind of stuff.
That's a great point. And like, so I'm maybe instead of me too. I mean, it's made me go look up Sons of Fëanor.
Dude,
right?
Fëanor and his sons are a bunch of jerks, by the way.
They're assholes, man.
Absolutely terrible.
They're terrible.
Right.
Like, I'm like, wow, elves can go pretty dark. And then I think about, well, yeah, of course they can.
Dude, he just said, the ring, he was lost for a while, but he's back.
There you go, baby. All right. Okay. Passed out of all knowledge or whatever. I can't remember what.
Dude, can we talk for a second as we wait for somebody else to call in here? Did you want to bring up Durin's ring? You messaged me something about, like, you wanted to talk about Durin, the lesser ring? The lesser ring.
Oh, I haven't. Well, didn't you look that up or something that he gets a lesser ring? And I just have not been able to stop thinking about that. I'm like, dude, that's like,
is he slighted?
They've done him dirty, man.
Did they do him dirty or something?
And then I'm thinking, like, is that going to add to this whole tension? Are they going to be like, thank you for your service?
But
is it
like the first wave? Like he's given a lesser ring as they're working stuff out?
Well, that's a great question, right? Like, is it it's like phase one of the rings and they end up not being as good because they haven't been refined.
I can just hear
Durin. Wouldn't they also be,
just coming back and saying, oh, now you want to give me one of the great rings. You know what I mean? Just kind of like he's been doing with Elrond, sort of like, oh, no, I see you in here just trying to spy on me. You know what I mean?
So, right. Or him even being like, oh, that's cool. So I don't get one of the rings of power, but I'll get a lesser ring. That sounds right. Thanks a lot, Elrond, friend. You know, I'm just like, that. Yeah. I could see and Visa being like, shut up, boy. You know, like, oh, I don't know. Like, but I could see him taking offense to that. And I honestly, man, this whole Kurt Jones theory of is D4 or is D3 really still
dead?
Alive?
Is he dead?
Or is he a figment of his imagination? I'm like, oh my gosh. I want that to be, I know it's not true, but I want it to be true. And I don't know, dude, it's not true, but
you know who
that would be. So good.
So he got my mind thinking, and I was thinking about, you know, we were talking again to Anthony and his friend Leon, who plays Kemen, right?
Kemen, yes.
So Kemen, if you, I was thinking, okay, he is. It is sort of confirmed that he is Farazan's son. But what if he was killed by Sauron, and Sauron just takes over his body and is walking? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's got me. After that, I was like, who's actually really alive? And you know, who is Sauron already possessed or taken their likeness or something? You know, don't know if they're going to go that far, but
I mean, like, and how are we going to see Annatar? That is the biggest thing. And will we know him as Annatar?
I'm guessing
probably not, right? They're probably not going to use.
Yeah, no. I don't think they're going to call him Annatar at all. Because
well, are they allowed to? That's the other thing probably too. Not. Do they have the probably rights not. To the name?
But imagine this. Imagine you walk into a room and you think you're walking with Kemen and your what's her name? What's her name? Freaking
Aarion.
I always say it wrong. Yeah. Aarion. You're walking in.
It's a tricky name.
Aarion and Kemen are walking into, you know, like his bedroom. Seems like this is getting intimate.
Jeez, okay.
Coordinated scene.
Oh god. Okay.
But like you, I don't know if you. Goblet of Fire. Shout out to my wife. She's gonna love this reference. You know, Mad Eye Moody is not. He's actually not Mad Eye Moody. He's drinking polyjuice. There's somebody locked up in the.
In
the thing, and it's actually Kemen locked up in there, and Sauron is actually pretending to be Kemen. And he's got Isildur's daughter and, you know, just using people, you know, playing his father. Who knows? That advisor role.
Well,
if I called it, I want somebody to from the show.
Yeah,
no,
I think you're on a mission.
I would love to get one of those letters. That's sort of like, you know, too much. Say no more. You know, like as if I had been leaked something.
Who was there was like a TikToker or someone who was doing that with Stranger Things. She was calling stuff that, and they literally reached out to her and said, please delete that last post.
No, they did not.
Yes, they did. It was,
I'm just kidding around.
Sarah and I, well, I mean, you might end up getting a cease and desist order. I don't know. I mean,
I hope not. That was a pretty far fetched one. I was just messing around, you know.
We know one of them's listening to us, but now we don't know that. But anyway, I like the wait, what were we talking? Yes, Sauron. Okay. I think one of the things that they're building up, though, to not, because we're expecting to hear Annatar, but maybe they legally can't use that name, is this whole thing of, well, Sauron's gone by many names, and he has many names, and, you know, like, he goes by many different names. They've said that like four or five times already. So it's in our mind, we're like, okay, well, so that, and that just also feeds this whole idea of, well, it could be anyone. It could be Halbrand. It could be, you know, is that even Halbrand's name? There's all those theories too that Halbrand stole this thing off a dead man, like you brought
Absolutely.
Up, right? That he's not really even Halbrand. And then you've got this whole idea, like, is Halbrand Theo's dad? Like, is he the father that ran away that you brought up as well?
Who's his father?
Is it? Yeah, is it Arondir? I mean, like, we don't know.
I keep thinking, is that Bronwyn's, you know, son? Actually, son or adopted?
Oh yeah,
things are pretty loose.
You bring up a good point with the term of son too. Like, and I thought that was a fair point with Kemen.
Yeah.
Like, is he his biological son, or is he just someone who, like, a, you know, you think about, like, he's going to form cults someday. Mm-hmm. Is it just like the term, like, hey son, you're one of my cult children. I don't know. I mean, you know, or in the same way that, like, Indiana Jones, like, he calls, like, Short Round son, you know, it's not his.
Yeah, it's not his actual son. Kid. He's just sort of
right.
Yeah,
I guess. It's just a term of endearment at some point. Kind of like when you call me boy. You know, I mean,
right.
But anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's lots of things. There's. I honestly, you know, we talked about this.
Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say I didn't expect this level of a speculation, and I'm glad that it's.
Me too. I love the present. Speculation. I think it's what people
so
are hyped
much fun.
For. So Matthew was like, he wanted to mention another thing here. Why the heck did Adar let Arondir go? So
yeah, there's some theory too that he's going to be a spy, or he's going to, I'm like, return to the dark side or something. And I'm like, I don't know about that, but
yeah
why? It is
not with
Sarah said the same
there.
Thing.
Are you kidding me?
No, there's no way. He's blinded by love. I mean, or motivated by love. Sarah said the same thing. She's like, so why, you know, like, in the orcs were ready to slit his throat. Atheriori and Arondir, and he was the most dangerous elf. And so why did they let him go? Yeah, so, or why did, you know, Adar let him go? So it's a fair question.
Yeah. Jace McKinney in here tonight says that if Hallbrand stays in Numenor, that sets the pieces in place for the foolishness of Pharazôn, human sacrifice, so on, Numenoreans turning their back on Ilúvatar, and the inevitable sinking of Numenor. You know, we talked, he does give that little piece of advice from the cell, right? Where he's sort of saying,
yes, he does. Yeah.
If you only knew where she was going, right? And he seems to whisper.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Right.
That's a good point by, yeah, and that's a good point by Chase too. I mean, like, if they're playing with the timeline and if they have to change things, maybe this is Annatar already in prison.
Yeah. Yeah. One of this here,
you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah. 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 And I think you brought this up actually. So Jameson mentioned, do you think we'll see the Pukulmen that are mentioned in Return of the King? They should exist in the second age already.
Yeah. The Druidon. I hope we get to see the Druidon. I mean, I'm hoping, like, with as much money as they put in the show, like, how many people groups do we have right now? Like seven?
Yeah.
Six or seven, if you include the orcs and stuff. Like, if we could add like two or three each, like, we still, I don't know. Like, I know that we saw the Entwives and the Entings and kind of passing with the Meteor, but that's what I was really hoping for too, that we haven't gotten as much this first half of the season. Probably because it's just not necessary yet. But like some of these different wild, crazy things that we didn't really even have time for in the third age, or that didn't exist in the third age as much.
True.
But yeah, the Druidon would be cool to see. Like, I would love to see, I don't know, like the Eagles featured again somehow. Oh, it's cool to see them in the prologue.
Wasn't that unreal?
But like some of these, it was amazing. It was amazing. But like some of these other creatures that we know are around, I guess we saw the Snow Troll or a Snow Troll. But I don't know, even different people's groups that we, like, could we see some, like, what are the Haradrim right now? I have no idea what they are.
Yeah.
What about the Southrons? Are the Southrons essentially
coming up at some point? We're going to get them.
Yeah, right. Like. Right. So, and then, I mean, even the Easterlings, right? Did I say that twice? No, Haradrim and Easterlings. Like, could we see some of them? I don't know. Like, there's so many different groups of people.
Right, right.
So, I don't know. Like, it'd be cool to get a different like, race or group of people added every season. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. I think it'd be cool to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Oh, hold on here. Oh, nope. We're good.
You know, people giving us a night off, that's what's going on.
That's fine. Yeah. We have some people moving around. We got some people on the fly here. I was just trying to get a hold of our good buddy Cameron, see if he was gonna be able to pop in. Yeah, that rascal, he's been I got some updates, by the way, for that project.
Good.
Yeah, I got some things to share, and we want to be talking about, like, we have a big sort of potential, I don't know, I mean, cool thing that we might be able to be a part of and be nearby. I'm gonna get us cameos. Yeah, I don't know. I think I will sit
at a board and just pretend to press buttons with a headset on. Like, I'll do that.
Yeah.
I don't even care. I'll work for free. I will do work. Like, I will sweep the floors afterwards. Richie McCaw. Richie. I will do that.
Dude, I know.
I want in. I have both of us. I think it'd be so cool to just, you know, even if we're in the background blurred out, that would be awesome.
It'd be huge, dude. It'd be huge.
Yeah.
Well, and actually, so I think we got him coming in. He's going to be calling right here in just a second. So we'll have him pop in here because to talk me up. Oh, hold on a second here.
We need a fellowship, fantasy fellowship update too.
He wasn't able to get to that this week, so we're going to postpone
that, like, little busy beaver.
He's a busy man.
Like, Ron here has got me so many points already for sure.
Right. I know.
He's got to be winning this episode. Like, think about all those orcs he slew. Think about, like, he came out on top in a conflict with Adar. Like, he survived.
Right.
And it kind of made me feel like he could have killed him. Did you think that too? Like, he could have taken that, like, piece of flint or metal or whatever. Killed him. He would have been killed, of course, but absolutely. He sacrificed himself. Yeah.
Absolutely. Here's Cam here. Boom.
Oh, hello.
Oh,
who is this? Who's calling in?
It's the your new best friend, Cameron Hansen.
Have you ever thought, Cam? Have you ever? I think I've asked you this before, but I want it on record. Have you ever been, like, sort of confused that you, for a living, you handle cams and your name is Cam?
Yeah, it's more of like a fate thing, I think.
Yeah, self-fulfilling prophecy almost.
Yeah, because my dad actually was inspired by James Cameron. He named me. So, like,
no, he literally. Was he really?
Yeah. So,
his heart will go on. Wow. Was he a big Titanic fan? Or was it Terminator?
It was Terminator.
Yeah, Terminator. Dude, what'd you think of this episode, man? Are you excited that we kind of I think Anthony's going to get you a job. Now, I think he was thinking like acting. So yeah. We might need to clarify, but if you're down to be an extra, I think he's going to get you a job there on season 3.
Here's the thing. Like, I would absolutely do. I would just do anything. Like you said, I'd be the tail end of the horse if need be. Hey, listen.
I forgot we said that. Wow.
I just listened to that. It's a little bit ago.
Oh, God. It's wow. So funny.
You got to.
But I couldn't tell if he was being serious or not. So if you're listening to this, I might still DM you and just let you know who I am at the very least. But
dude.
It was very hard to tell. I was like, is he being serious about DMing?
The Kiwis are like that, man. You can't always tell. You're like, hold on, is that for real? You
can't tell. Are
there really statues of me in New Zealand? Because I think there might be now. I don't know.
Took me by, like, I didn't know what was. I was like, I believe
his sense of humor is so good. He has such a good sense of humor, man. I mean,
people were Googling those statues, like, right after we got done.
They were.
I was one of them.
You're not allowed to Google a statue. That's kind
of. I was on Google Earth, and I was like, holy smokes, you know?
There he is.
There it is.
Wow. They don't call me New Zealand for nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. What'd you think of this episode, man? Were you digging it? Were you out on it? Are you still, is the reason you haven't finished Fellowship Fantasy because you're like still totaling a Rondir's kills and like beautiful eyes?
Exactly. You know, that's you're right. I thought this episode was really good. I'm honestly having, like, it's been a minute since I've watched it. I only watched it the once and it was with Courtney. So I haven't gotten a chance to go back and tally up anything. So usually it's the second watch through where I really like dig into the analysis and I have time to pause and like, you know, kind of think on things a little bit better. But yeah, hit me with some highlights really quick. I need to jog my memory. I've been going through a lot the past couple of days, so I need to jog my memory.
Here's the biggest highlight is happy belated birthday to Courtney. Huge shout out to her.
Yeah, and we selfishly would love to hear her voice sometime. So,
I mean, I just want to—I want to meet her. I really want to meet Courtney Efford. She's like a legend of mine.
I'm blessed. I've met her.
You have met her. That's right, twice. Man. Okay, wow. I think Cam's keeping her away from me because she wears the shirt,
absolutely,
you know, of me, and I think she might feel starstruck or something because of my statues in New Zealand. And I just would love to meet her because behind every great man is an even better woman, you know?
Amen.
And so that's Cam's pretty decent. So, you know.
Wow.
So she must be, you know, so, she must be pretty great.
But happy birthday to Courtney, in all seriousness. But I wanted to ask you this. I'm not going to give you a highlight of the show, but I want to ask you, like, when you do break it down from, like, being a cameraman, a filmmaker, a videographer, when you do that second walkthrough, what is it? Is it a lot of pausing? Do you like even go frame by frame on certain parts that you feel are really interesting? How do you digest it on the second like analysis, I guess?
Well, I mean, honestly, it allows me. I wouldn't normally do that if it wasn't for Fantasy Fellowship. I'm not the type of person to watch things multiple times. Honestly, like I usually just watch it and I'm out. Like I rarely even go back and like. Or even have a hunger to go back and watch it, but for some reason this show has just been like good enough to break that cycle for me. Like I seriously don't ever watch things over and over again. I think there are very few things like the original trilogy is one of them that I will go back and watch, but other than that I don't really watch movies twice. I think the only other movie that I think is rewatch worthy for me other than the Lord of the Rings trilogy and evidently this show is The Big Lebowski.
Yeah, that's like your opinion, man. So
but yeah, I don't know why. I'm obsessed with like watching that movie and like watching people's reactions to that movie.
Over the line, baby, over the line. Such a good movie. That's my dad. Huge shout out to my dad. That's Papa Smith's favorite movie, man. He loves Big Lebowski.
So you're in for a world of pain.
You're entering into a world of pain. Smokey was he's a pacifist. He's very fragile. I did not know that.
Oh, thank you for entering the Big Lebowski podcast.
Oh my gosh.
What's your most modest receptacle? It's one of the best movies of all time. I mean, it's as have you seen Big Lebowski? You probably haven't,
no,
have you?
No.
Add it to the list, baby.
I know.
Can we please do like a watch through together then? Because I would absolutely die to see Ev's reaction to that movie.
Yes, we need to show Ev's Big Lebowski for sure. He'll cut off your Johnson. Yeah, for sure. There are Germans in it, Ez.
Are there really?
There are Germans in it. Yes, there are.
Wow.
They're down. I think they're played by all Americans, so.
That's true. One of them is Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers. So, yeah. Who I think he'd be great as an orc. I want to see him in Loader on Prime, you know, season 3. I want to see Flea in an episode.
Mm. I'll talk to Anthony. Make it happen.
Yeah, really.
Wait, wasn't
he
in Star Wars? Was he in? He was in Obi-Wan.
Yeah, he was in
he?
Obi-Wan. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay, cool, cool. He's in Back to the Future 2 and 3. He's a great actor. Yeah. Like, he's a cool dude. Okay, so Cam, so you don't rewatch typically, but this show has you jonesing for a rewatch. So some highlights. We got to see Adar. That was amazing.
Dude, he looks sick. The makeup and stuff on him, and we got some more up close stuff with the orcs. And I'm just like, I was thinking on the way, like listening to the show you guys just posted with Anthony, I was just like, dang, this orcs looks so good. Like, you guys were talking about that. I'm like, I was just thinking about how detailed the orcs are and about how, like, compared to the original trilogy, like, I don't want to say they look better, but they look pretty dang good.
Wasn't that funny? Everyone was worried about the whole, they were like, oh, well, they're going to ruin the practical effects by touching up digitally. I look at them. First of all, I still can't. Maybe it's just because I'm a simpleton, but everyone who's saying that the CGI is ridiculous and looks fake, I'm like, I don't think they know what they're talking about. I think maybe they're watching cross-eyed or something. I mean, yeah. I honestly don't know. I haven't seen tons of stuff, but the things that I do enjoy tend to have a lot of CGI in it. And I'm thinking this stuff holds up so well that I know I'm not really looking at Linden, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But it feels like it's, you know, I'm not like jarred by it. And then the same thing with these orcs. Like, I know that they're enhanced somewhat, but they feel like the practicality part is so emphasized. I mean, I'm with you, man. Some of my favorite scenes are with the orcs. I mean, like,
I was just going to say, I had a guy that I was talking to the other day, and he was telling me that he wasn't sure he wanted to watch the series because it looked like it was filmed like in a studio, like too, it was too studio is how he phrased it. I'm like, I get the concern by just watching the trailers, but once you actually, you know, go into it, it's very little studio work at all, it would seem like. I mean, all the hardwood stuff and
yeah. You know what's funny is J.A. Bayona just posted an image. Go to his Instagram, check it out. It's a photograph of young Galadriel and Finrod. Yeah. And he talks about just this. He said this was originally planned as a set scene. We were going to film in a studio, and we decided not to at the kind of the last minute. And the amount of time we had with the lighting we needed for the scene was like an hour, and so we had to work really quickly. And it was something that we were willing to sacrifice more time on to get right.
And it was like 20 minutes. I thought you said it was even
shorter. It might have been shorter than an hour. Yeah. So it's even more to the point that they wanted to capture the vibe of this location and just the being outside, right? Yeah. It was worth it. That scene will stay with me for. I love that scene. I think it's beautifully done. I love how they're like. It's such an interesting. Usually, I mean, I think too. Like a lot of times, you would film that so that you could see the city. Right. Traditionally, you would film that so that you're not looking up this hill that's hiding the city in Valinor. Right. But instead, they chose to almost like hide it. It just feels like a really creative way to even look at that of where they would be and then to film it on location. So, yeah, I think that's funny. I honestly hold to this thing. I don't think people know what they're talking about. I don't think they can recognize. With like the advances in technology and film and the frame rates and all this stuff and 4K and all this junk, I don't think they know what they're talking about. And most people haven't been to New Zealand. And I think they see New Zealand and they go, well, that can't be real. it's all CGI. I'm like, no, you idiot. It's like, it's paradise. Like, it's, I'm telling you, man, I've been there. I've been there twice. And Anthony can back me up on this. And anyone who lives there, people who live there look at it and they're like, this doesn't look real. This doesn't look real. I know it's real, but it's unlike anything I've ever seen. I mean, Elijah Wood talks about that. He was like, it's unlike anywhere I've ever been in my life. He said, it's got everything that you would have in any kind of geological feature in the world in the space of like 20 miles. So I understand people's criticisms, I guess, but I think it's, they're just finding something that is an easy thing to say about fantasy. And they aren't really, they couldn't give you specific examples of, see, this looks fake and it looks fake because it's just one of those blanket statements you say when you want to criticize fantasy.
And it's hard. It would be hard to imagine doing the show without it being this way. Like, what are you supposed to do? Like,
right.
Build a whole entire city? Like, maybe you model, yes, but like,
yeah,
that would be, I don't know. We're at a point where the technology is in fact good enough to just use CG and stuff. Right. So we don't. And models are cool, and models can look really, really, really good, but I don't think they're 100% needed. And I mean, it just depends on what medium. Like, it depends on your personal style, and it depends on a lot. Like, a lot with art, it's just all about preference. And it's very subjective.
Gosh,
they should have spent a few more dollars on that rug of Elrond and Elros in the last episode, because that
there,
was,
yeah.
They went and ripped that off the wall at Big Lots, and I don't know why they went that route. But
you
that
are
my biggest.
Lane, someone hand knitted that. And you are out here. Wow.
Sarah did an even deeper cut. I was like, I can't stand that rug, Sarah. I was like, that's something that's going to stick with me forever. I was like, why not a beautiful fresco or fresca or whatever a painting? I don't even know what they're called. Fresco painted on the wall. It would feel very Mediterranean and island and everything. And it would harken back to the paintings that, connection to Rivendell that Alan Lee did in Rivendell. It would be great. And she was like, yeah, it does look like a paint by number. I was like, dang, she said it, baby. It looks like a light bright. Like, that rug looks like a light bright. And I'm like, that is so clearly Elrond. It's not even stylized. And he's like, hey, bye, brother. And Elros is like, we don't even look like brothers. That's to show everyone that I chose the path of man. Bye, brother.
All I'm hearing is that the three of us need to be a part of season 3. So,
oh my gosh.
I mean, I think Anthony's gonna make it happen. I mean, I kind of drove to the hoop and I was like, dude, could you get us to, by season 5, could we be your VIPs on the red carpet?
I just want to help him steal daggers. I just want to get in the dagger count.
Just stealing daggers, boy.
You know, we'll break the record.
Break that.
So, I thought that was such a Billy Boyd thing, too. That was like so funny to me. I'm like, that is something that like Billy and Dom would have done that would have just like become this. And like, think about that. Like, a story that we got from Anthony that we now like know that would have,
yeah, it's a story and a story
that would ever would have been known. Like, it's, that's so fun to me. I like, and Cam can talk to that, because it's like the behind the scenes stuff on a production that we still want to record our like behind the scenes of the commercial, because there were so many funny things that happened.
The ring's still out there, as far as I know.
The ring is still out there.
It's probably taken by
I'm gonna go find it.
Little groundhog or something by now. Sasquatch,
that's true.
With it on, maybe.
Sasquatch is trying to turn invisible, putting it on. Who knows what? Who knows what he's putting that using that ring for? But But anyway, just the behind the scenes stuff that makes I don't know, like these productions even more interesting. It's really cool. Yeah.
Yes, sir. It's all about the hang when it comes to being on set and set life. Like, if you get people around you, and that can make the long days a lot easier. So I'm sure Anthony can attest to that. Like, when you got chill people that have good attitudes and allow you to have fun, and it makes it a lot more enjoyable.
Right. Now, see, I like hanging around divas and high maintenance people, but I guess that would be
that's
cool.
Why he hangs out with me so much. That's why he hangs out.
That's exactly right. Yeah, everyone thinks I'm the high maintenance one. It's as man.
If you guys only know, like, everything's gonna be said a certain way.
Just ask Lottie, man. Ask Lottie knows. Lottie knows. Yes, yeah. Last night we were recording with Anthony, and as I kid you not, Ez sits there and goes, "Hey, babe, if you could bring me like another giant piece of Stromboli, a little extra sauce, babe, on the side, we got Durko's again, 392. 5678, guys. That's 740-392-5678. They deliver only locally, so you got to drive. But it's the best stromboli in the world. And he's just going, yeah, actually, you know what? Could you get me a drink? Would that be okay? All right. Okay. I'm going to sit here. Okay, thanks, huh? Yeah. Thank you so much. And I'm just like, I can't. You ignorant pig.
Hey, a man likes what he likes, okay? He likes it a certain way. You know, I'm kidding. That was written in the script, by the way. This is all scripted, and going back to Ez being a control freak, we scripted this call. With Cameron, and he's reading and driving at the same time. I'm kidding.
Hey, I'm parked now.
Okay, good. Thank man. Okay, good. Hey, while you're parked, one last question before we let you go. So one thing to discuss just among the three of us here, Michael Upshaw, crazy theory that they're combining Annatar and Celebrimbor so that the show Celebrimbor is Sauron.
Whoa.
Definitely don't like that theory, though. A lot of people said they're out. They said I would be crying about it, and I would be. Just thought that was interesting.
I mean, I can see the logic, right? Because it's their Celebrimbor was tricked into making the rings or like showing right. – Or like appealing to Annatar on how to make those rings, so they are intertwined.
I would
have a lot of people; they'd be out, they'd be so upset.
Yeah, I would be too.
That would kind of ruin it for a lot of people because that's like a major. Down. Yeah, that's kind of a major detour. I mean, the only way I could think if that was the case, and the only thing I could think of that would be cool that if they did it that way is if like maybe he. You know, Celebrimbor was a thing and he was a person that did all these great things and then he was killed secretly and we had like a backstory of how he got killed and like, I don't know, that's just me spitballing of like an idea.
People
like,
are swearing at their cool. radios right now because of us.
I kind of hope it happens. I really kind of hope it happens Whoa. Because now if everyone hated it, I want it to happen. That'd be cool.
Dude.
Because then I'd be the only one watching the show and I'd be like, now this is what I'm talking about. Yeah, I can put my feet up on the chair in front of me. Heck yeah, boy.
Yeah.
This is pod racing, baby. Let's go.
This is pod racing.
Oh my gosh.
Now this is podcasting.
That should be your guys' intro.
That should be. There you go.
Yeah, I should. I should.
That's your closing line. Now this is podcasting.
Oh yeah. Well, I got Cameron on here. What are you doing Thursday, buddy? Don't feel free to call back into Star Wars Hangout and let's chat, my friend. You know.
Let's go. Yeah.
So.
Oh, you know what I'm doing on Thursday? I'm going with Logan to go test out some camera equipment.
Let's go. This is the thing I was talking with Lane about. This and I he told me hates the word fanfic because or not fanfic. Yeah, fan film. Right. So.
What is okay? So hold on.
This is a legit production, my friends.
This is the 9th, right? October 9th that we were able to possibly, Ez and I come and Lottie come visit this thing.
We moved it to the 8th.
Okay.
So we were gonna do the 8th and 9th. The 8th being a prep day and the 9th being the shoot day, but we had to change it to the 8th.
Okay.
For just every.
That's fine.
Keep us updated because. We want to come, we're going to come. So yeah. Even if that's all we get to do, we want to see this. It'd
and
be really cool.
We're going to be promoting their dude. That's like their promo film day. And then they're like filming later. I can't say right camera. There's a couple things we cannot say here, but dude, this was way more involved, more people involved than I realize. And I think it's kind of mind blowing that it's going on.
J.J. Abrams is. Is it J.J. Abrams producing or something like that? Isn't he doing Mystery Box?
He's
Mystery
producing.
Box. Mystery Box.
Yeah.
Mr. Abrams to you.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry. I'm around my apartment. I call him J.G.
J.G. Yeah, okay.
Cute.
G.J.
What the? But anyway, Mystery Box. It's going to be fun. We'll talk more about it later, but this is a big project that Cameron's involved in. He just sort of got me involved tonight, and these guys were so... solid Lane, I would love for you to talk to him and for us to kind of.
I just want. I was telling Ez Cam, I don't care if I'm like literally the janitor of the Death Star. I want, and I'm out of focus the whole time. I would, and I will pay. I won't pay him, but I will do grunt labor to just get a menial role of some kind. It would be so much fun.
Yeah, we can talk to you. You'll have plenty of a chance to talk to him when you guys come hang out for a little bit. So.
And I would honestly love a death scene. If I could have a death scene that was either real quick and I could do the Wilhelm scream, they could put that over.
Lane has Lane has acting experience.
I'm on IMDb, thanks to Cam. We both are now.
Yeah,
Or we could be if we wanted to be, but we should be, honestly.
I looked into that.
Yeah, we should make. Yeah, we need to make profile.
I think we need to make. What do you mean you looked into it? Like, what the hell is that supposed to
hey,
mean?
Hey, Travis Sigler is on IMDb.
That's what I'm saying, man.
I love that.
That's what I'm saying. Well, all I'm saying is our faces are on YouTube in a high quality product. Like, Cam, I'm sad you haven't already. Like, don't talk to me.
It's
again.
Hard,
that's
man.
Work.
It's a lot of. It's like
a, oh, okay.
It's a stupid hard interface to get that figured out with IMDb. It's like
that sounds like a cop out, boy. That
yeah,
sounds
know
like
somebody.
A cop out.
Who knows somebody?
Yeah, whatever.
I'll work on it.
No, you don't do it. Don't do it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You enjoy life.
We're backpedaling. We're backpedaling. Yeah. Cameron, you're the man, buddy. Appreciate you.
Love you, bud.
Awesome.
Be careful.
Hey, go find that ring, would you?
Yeah. Right now in the dark. 10 o'clock at night. Man of Clear Creek.
It's either this or IMDb. I don't know.
Yeah,
they made me do it.
Oh, gosh.
All right. So, Courtney, we said happy birthday.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Belated. But, yeah. Okay. All right, buddy.
All right, buddy. Love you, man. See ya.
Love you guys. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good man.
Why do we keep inviting him on the show? Why do we keep?
Because he makes these awesome connections that
kick that kid off, man. Jeez. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Right? I was doing a Dom Monahan, Billy Boyd thing there, a little homage. But, yeah. This is great, dude. Honestly, I mean, are we shutting this down?
I think we're gonna turn her down early tonight. I think we're gonna kind of
tired, man. Are you so tired?
I'm actually just glad we did an hour and a half. Honest to God, guys, we had this is like three. Dude, we've actually, if you count since last Monday, if you count Monday to Monday, so yeah, 8 days. In the past 8 days, we've done 1, 2, 3, 4 podcasts. So
yeah,
we're
and then. On Friday, we'll be back. I mean, we got Friday coming up. We've got another stuff. I mean, guys, like this, the circle segment is ridiculous.
True. And
the hotline is almost turning into its own like circle of sorts with regulars calling in. I mean, this is amazing with Andrew and you know, Seth and Matthew, like,
I know.
And Cam,
I know.
Every week. This is awesome. But we have Nicole Whitaker coming on. Don't forget the sniffing. Nicole has that tattooed on her body. Let us not forget like that. She has a don't forget the sniffing tattoo. It's incredible.
Bless her.
We've got Mr. Todd Robbins hopping in, which will be incredible.
Yep,
what did I call him? Billy Mortensen at one point. Cause he reminds me of both Billy Boyd and Viggo Mortensen. And I think I even created this headcanon of like from Viggo and Billy's kiss offset that's where Todd came
that's
from.
Where it's at. Yeah. Wow.
I don't know if that's true or not, but
yeah.
From the kiss, he was it's like he was sung into existence. He was kissed into being.
Wow!
And then we got Amanda joining us, so that will be incredible to hear their thoughts on episode 5 and the season as a whole.
Yeah, it's been great.
But we love it. But it's just crazy, man. We went from a hiatus of not being able to really, honestly, not being able to record. And then I mean, I can't get over last night, like being able to talk in person. First of all, like it felt nice to just
it was so nice
be in front of that mic again.
Yeah.
And then like to be able to, for our timing, it's, I don't know if you guys have noticed, it's sometimes it's really hard to, like phone and stuff is not easy. Not even
no,
just like when we have a,
when
we have a caller on, but even me and Ez, like we're not looking at each other's eyes. Like we can't read each other's.
We're not touching feet underneath the table.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Man,
those days
didn't happen last night. That's kind of disappointing. I thought we'd
I need to work on that. I actually need to talk to Lottie about that because,
well, it would be good for you guys. I mean, that's...
Yeah, no, I'm actually realizing there's a little bit of a barrier down there I got to fix.
Yeah, so, open that up. Yeah. Get some space in there. But some white spaces under the table. But anyway, it was cool to be on the mics again. And I don't know, be in the flesh, so to speak.
Yeah.
So full circle again. But well, hopefully we can do more of that in the future. But it'll be nice. It'll be nice to get done with the show. Take another little break, you know, recoup and enjoy just life and us being able to talk about like things outside of Lord of the Rings too.
Right.
And then maybe do an anniversary episode again, which we
get
to do. Did we do one last year? We didn't get to do one, did we?
No, I was out of the country.
Yeah.
You know,
That's right.
Things were crazy. So that'd be cool to bring back. And then
absolutely.
Yeah. We'll take a little break at the end of the season and we'll kind of go from there. Who knows though? We actually have lined up a couple conversations at the end of the season too, that are going to be So we might prolong it by a week or two. It's just people, people who we, you know, we need to chat with and recap and go over stuff, and might have some more people who were involved in the show popping on as well. You just never know. It's unexpected.
You never know. You never know.
So
we don't even know.
Well, so. I've never known. So
never know nothing.
Didn't know it. Never will.
You have a couple hobbits, man.
Well, Post Malone, by the way, is going to throw. He's calling in next week, just so you guys know. He let us know, so make sure you're back for that. And we will we'll have him on as well as showrunners. I think they said, guys, we'll see what we can do.
I just want to give Posty a hug. Don't you just want to give Posty a hug?
I want to give him all a hug,
dude. Just thank you, man. Yeah. I know. Payne and McKay too. I want to be like, I want to hug you guys for all the haters out there. Not for them, but to make up for all the haters who are calling you. I heard another person's analysis. They went in again and they were or critiques of the show. I dipped in again. I went to the same negative channels I got.
Yeah.
I watched a couple weeks ago. I'm like, I wonder what they're saying now, just out of curiosity. And the same thing. They pulled up Payne and McKay. They're like, well, this is what happens when you've got guys who've barely written before. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Like,
the dialogue is over terrible.
It's so good. Are you kidding me? It's so interwoven. Heads. It's as woven as that rug you know with Elrond.
It's way better than that. That's not done very well.
Yeah, my bad.
Right. But, yeah. I mean, I want you to just go back and look at that, and you tell me you think it stands up.
I will. I'm gonna pull it up here after we're done.
Okay.
So
I mean, it looks like a Crayola sheet that is just colored and put fuzz on.
It's bad.
But that's fine. And so it's all good.
So good. Dude, if you saw my eyes in the live stream right now, they're red as all get out. Like, just.
We need to go to bed for sure.
So bad.
Yeah, shut her down. Bad. Shut her down. The hobby. Yeah, you got any predictions for next episode, I guess?
Real quick, peek in the Palantir. One major prediction that I have is that we will see Celebrimbor wielding.
Shirtless.
Does he think he would take up Feanor's hammer? You think he'd use it?
Oh my gosh, to make the rings.
Wouldn't it be kind of cool if he did?
Holy crap.
Yeah.
I'm still on this mindset that he doesn't actually do the forging anymore. He just oversees all of it.
Yeah.
And so maybe he won't. He'll have to do the rings though, right? He'll have to.
I think so.
Maybe that's why there are lesser rings. He ain't been in that gym for so long. Wow. Maybe you're thinking he's in the gym all the time, but really he's gotten a little soft, a little doughy.
Dude, you just made me think.
He does the lesser rings.
I mean, just thought of what Anthony said, and it's time for
it. Anthony said he weren't in the gym
today, and I'm gonna hit it again tonight, like before I go to sleep.
Because, I think I'm gonna stop at McDonald's on the way back. I gotta eat something. I'm starving, great. And I had
that code red earlier, by the way. So
how good is it? But that's not bad for you.
No, it's actually great. 25 calories. So good. Amazing.
Yeah.
So
okay, so we're gonna see Celebrimbor wielding. The forge,
In the forge.
Okay, my
Feanor's hammer. Go ahead. What we got?
Okay, my prediction is we are going to see. I think we're going to see the Mystics this next episode. We are finally going to see the Mystics.
They're
going to enter in and they're going to kind of rule the second half. There's going to be a big emphasis on them the second half of the season. So
that'd be cool.
That's my call.
I like it. Well, hey.
All right, brother.
Friends, that is all for us this week. We'll be back again next week, the Hobbit Hotline. We'll be back on Friday with the Inner Circle, all that goodness. If you haven't had a chance, leave us that review over on the podcast. Yep. Helps us a lot. We appreciate that. And again, people have been sending us in some communique, been talking on Instagram quite a bit, responding to folks' theories out there. If you're catching stuff, tag us and stuff. We'd love to see it. Yep. By the way, if you were on the show and you're listening, for crying out loud, pull an Anthony and let us know. My gosh.
Absolutely.
So, you know. Anyway. All right, friends. Hey,
so cool. You
guys, have a good one. Thanks everybody on the stream for popping in over here.
Yes, thank you, everyone.
Please like, please subscribe. Send us that old Shadow Facts.
We'll see you in just a few days. We got a second half of the season to get into. Don't fall asleep yet. Even though we're sleepy, just remember, every time we get sleepy on this podcast, something big is about to happen. And unfortunately, you know it. Sauron lives.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.